The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, with the general election in full swing, people are beginning to further engage with the candidates from their constituency. So they're wondering maybe what is their constituency makeup, who are the candidates, who's likely to be elected. Joining me now with all the answers is Ivan Yates, former TD, a former minister, former broadcaster in this parish, but still on the go nonetheless. Ivan, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, tell me about your enterprise with Sean Defoe.
Oh, exactly. It's called Calling It. I did it with Gavin O'Reilly and Chris Donoghue previously, all, of course, gone on to better things in 2016 and 2020. So we go through the 43 constituencies, 14 more TDs, and there's about 625 candidates I've counted so far. And I've got to assess the wheat from the chaff. So you have a five-seater. Who are the seven? You know, who's in contention for that? Yeah. In a three-seater, who are the four or five? And then we actually call it of who it'll be. And then at the end, we might do some slight revisions. So I can't tell you how much work is involved.
Are you guilty, therefore, of interfering with your predictions? Because you know the way people like to go with the favourite? You used to be a bookie, God knows.
Well, no. Sometimes campaigns matter and the momentum shifts. Everything I do is if the election was called today, and 3 weeks is a long time in politics, and it's a long, long time in election. So the simple point is this, that listening to Finan Sheehan and you earlier, you're talking about the air war, what's happening in the manifestos, what's happening in the debates, radio, TV and print and all of that good stuff. Separate to that, this is Irish politics, very parochial, very village mentality. 50% of people vote for a local TD. To hell with you all up in Dublin there, you know. And so that ground war is absolutely what Calling It is about. To say, so you can go to Louth, where Fianna Fáil last time got none out of five. The only constituents in the country. Next door, in Longford Westmeath, they got 2 out of 4. Go figure. It's the same brand, the same leader, the same manifesto, the same policies.
So it's the candidates. Down,
it's the local factors, yeah.
Now, local factors. I was walking my dog last evening and he suddenly went rigid. He's an English setter, so he's a hunting dog. And he was looking across the road and I wondered what he looked at. And then I saw a Richard Boyd Barrett poster had fallen from the lamppost and was now resting against a wall.
Indeed.
And he was looking at this. So I decided to cross the road. When he got near Richard Boyd Barrett, he was terrified.
Was Richard there himself?
No, the post. We had the photo. So I turned it. I had to turn it back to the wall before my dog would proceed.
But your dog is a bad judge because Richard Boyd Barrett
will undoubtedly get
elected. And it's between him and Jennifer McNeill to top the poll in Dunleary.
Okay, so not to use my dog to select candidates,
exactly.
In other words.
The sniffer wasn't working in terms of detecting a poll detector.
Going back to the ground war and the air war, I mean, Donald Trump abandoned the ground war. Yeah. He went for the air war. He did employ some private companies to get people, if they needed a lift to the polling station or whatever, or encouragement for early voting. But by and large, he used social media. Mm-hmm. He went on the air war. He went on Joe Rogan's podcast and so on. Mm-hmm. Who is to say the ground war is still that effective, particularly with the younger cohort?
Well, America, 360 million people, whatever it is. Ireland, 3 million, 4 million people. So, I mean, it's just a different culture. It's a different mentality, a different attitude to politics. But on the ground war, I listened to a lot of stuff with the Democrats going into Philadelphia. And they bust people in. The first thing I would say is, I used to canvass with postmen. Because they knew Mary, Pat, they knew everything. And yeah. Therefore, I was in there. You know what I mean? People don't answer the door to strangers. So your ground war is only as good as your localised personnel.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about some of the emerging trends as you see them. What are going to be the issues that are going to sway people's votes?
Well, first of all, I think this happened in the local elections. A really hardworking TD, be they of no party, like, say, Michael Lowry or the Healy Rays or Matty McGrath or wherever you might go. First of all, it doesn't matter what the trends are. I think people find it convenient as a protest vote if you're against the government. They won't necessarily like Sinn Féin. They don't want to take a vote for the left. It's a very convenient thing. So I think independents are going to do well. I think they did, I could see more than 30 independents. Now, let's be clear. There are regional independents who want to go into government, the likes of Sean Canney, the likes of Noel Grealish, and those. Then there's rural independents who are basically a rump from the anti-abortion line, Carol Nolan, Matty McGrath, the Healy Rays, they don't want to go into government. You've Independent Ireland, who I think could get 6 or 7 seats, a name to watch out, Ken O'Flynn in Cork North Central. He got over 3,000 votes in the local elections. So Richard Donoghue is safe. Michael Collins in Cork South West is safe, in my opinion. And Michael Fitzmaurice is staying in Roscommon. So they are definitely, they'd like to get 6 or 7 and be in the frame for a coalition partner.
Government.
And the other one then is in Independence for Change. People like Joan Collins, Thomas Pringle, Catherine Connolly, they're not really in government. So the two that the government have their eyes on is Independent Ireland and Regional Independence as suitors to replace the Greens. The Greens are in awful trouble.
We'll talk about that in a moment. The gene pool you always talk about,
yeah.
You know, from whence did these independents spring?
Yeah.
Are they Fine Gael independents, Fianna Fáil independents?
Yes. Let's be clear. Take in Wexford. Verona Murphy stood in the by-election for Fine Gael. There was a row and she's now independent. I think she'll get 12,000 votes. The majority of those votes are Fine Gael. So the independent cannibalises from where they came.
Yeah, but they normally can be relied upon then to vote with their own gene pool.
If there's a ministry on offer. Oh, what's in it for me,
okay,
Pat?
Now, you mentioned the Greens,
yeah, the
and
Greens.
We played a clip of Roderick O'Gorman earlier saying, you know, they're being edged out of...
Okay. So first of all, the Green pattern is clear. In 07, they did really well. In 2011, coming out of government, they lost every seat. So last time, they did really well. They got 12 seats. So the tide is now going out. How bad could it be? And what I'm looking at, you take Rathdown for Catherine Martin. So I think Fine Gael, it's the bluest of blue, Rathdown. I think Fine Gael will get 2 seats. I think Maeve O'Connell, who's a sister of Colin Brophy, will get in with Neil Richmond, who I think will top the poll. I think, and I've seen a private poll there showing they're not only getting 2 out of 4 seats, they're getting the first 2 seats. So Shea Brennan, just say he gets elected. I'm not saying he will, for Fianna Fáil. There's not going to be 4 government TDs. And therefore, where I see the Greens being squeezed is, first of all, outside of Dublin, the anti-sustainability agenda, more red tape, more cost, more compliance, and just, you know, cycle lanes and all of the stuff, the farmers and the emissions, they've all that. They've a second problem, which is that, are they pro-government or anti-government? Catherine Martin would have got a big anti-establishment vote the last time.
Yeah.
I'm saying watch out for Mick the Butcher, Mick Fleming. He could get that anti-establishment vote this time. And so you could have 3 out of 4 government TDs. And if it's Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, there is no space for the Greens. They're neither for the government or against the government. And, you know, as you know, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael want them out.
Now, talk to me about interesting constituencies like Dublin Central, where Mary Lou MacDonald reigns supreme, and we have the Monk.
Yeah, an irrelevancy.
An irrelevancy, but what percentage of the poll might he
put
take?
Put it like this, it'll come back from whether he took it, but I don't see him
getting more. You mean it'll eventually end up where it might have started?
Exactly, won't get more than 2,000 votes, in my opinion. So I think Mary Lou is a certainty. I think Pascal Donoghue is a certainty, the pro-government situation. I think Gary Gannon has consolidated a position for the Sock Dems, hardworking on the ground. So the Greens, vulnerable. NASA Hurricane is vulnerable. I think Claire Daly's a very serious, big jungle beast. She wasn't that far off the MEP election. Now, she was expected to run with the split in Fine Gael, Dean Mulligan on one and her on the other. And this was a surprise because that was her previous bailiwick around swords and so on. This particular constituency had Tony Gregory, had Maureen O'Sullivan, and Maureen retired in the last election. So there is a tradition of an independent there. I actually think she will dislodge NASA.
Okay, so NASA to go and Claire Daly to win that one. Let's move across the bay to Dublin Bay South, where I think there might be a real brawl for those seats.
It looked 3 weeks ago as if there were 7, there's 4 seats, there would be 7 into 4. 2 of those I'm now dismissing. Michael McDowell, because he's not running. I think he would have got elected if he stood, but he's decided 72 years of age not to stand. Kate O'Connell, I think, would have been better running as a Fine Gael candidate. She's gone an independent road. I don't think she'll make it. So those are 2 of the 7 gone. So now it's...
What was the row there that meant that she ran as an independent?
Well, go ask Fine Gael. I mean, sorry, I've no dirty linen to wash there. There was a but the way Fine Gael described it to me was the talks were very warm and then they just went cold. But I think she's made a mistake. I don't think she'll get elected as an independent. Fine Gael get a seat there, James Gagan, the only time in the history of the state they didn't get it to this very middle-class area. I think Jim O'Callaghan will hold. And I think that
Ivana
is certain to. She's actually got very significant momentum. She won the by-election there. I think she's just in the right place at the right time.
So the last seat.
So the last seat is difficult. So you have Chris Andrews in the frame.
Formerly Fianna Fáil, yeah, now Sinn Féin.
And you have Hazel Chew. Now, the difficulty for Hazel Chew is, A, she's not Eamon Ryan. Secondly, the Greens are in two factions, those who are pro going into government and those who are against it. Claire Byrne would have been the favourite candidate of Eamon Ryan.
And did a lot of the work in that constituency.
Yeah. So I think there's a little bit of a kind of coolness there. So at the end of the day, a lot of that area is gentrified. You know, where is the hardcore working class area for Andrews to get his vote? But incumbency has a little bit of advantage, but I think the last seat is between Hazel Chew and Chris Andrews. If you pin me to the wall, I'd say Chris Andrews. And, you know, on figures, he has a long way to drop. But that is tight.
OK, now bring us to the Taoiseach constituency, which, of course, has lost Simon Coveney in the mix.
Yeah.
So, Michael McGrath. Who's,
and most importantly, it has an extra seat. It's gone from 4 seats to 5 seats. Bishopstown and the Mardyke area have come into South Central. First of all, Fianna Fáil have 2 safe seats. Seamus McGrath, Michael's brother, got the highest vote of any councillor in the whole country. Out of 949, he got elected. He got the highest. So write it down. Carrie Galline, he's been doing Michael's work while he's been swanning around the world. So he's guaranteed. Martin is probably his last time to go. He'll get a big vote. So they'll have more than 2 quotas, but there's no 3rd seat. A lot of money with the bookies on Jerry Buttermore, the senator. So there's 1 Fine Gael seat. Mm-hmm. There used to be 2, Coveney and Barry. A lot of money for Jerry Buttermore.
Name recognition big there.
Yeah. I'm not buying it. The word I have is that the merchant princes, the party hierarchy happened at the convention. Shane O'Callaghan is a lawyer, criminal lawyer, and I think he's going to get that seat. And Donnie O'Leary has a safe seat. He did exceptionally well last time. He can drop and still win. Now we're into who the hell is going to win this last seat? So it's going to be a newcomer. It's not going to be Fine Gael. It's not going to be Fianna Fáil. It's not going to be Sinn Féin. So I've been casting around, and in no particular order, Mick Finn is a former Lord Mayor, might be past his sell-by date. He didn't stand for the local elections. There's a Green GP doctor, Dan Boyle, was here. Don't think either of those will make it. Pádraig Rice of the Sock Dems, but I see all of them transferring to whoever's the top of this pile, and this is a pattern, the Aon O'Riordan factor, I call it. Whoever's at the top, will all these soft left will.
You have to last it out.
So the name that I think you should write down is Councillor Laura Harman of the Labour Party.
Now, speaking of the Labour Party, they expect to do better than the last time out. The Sock Dems expect to do better than the last time out. What would be the auspices for them combining if both do rather well, given that there isn't a hair between their policies anyway?
So my overall feeling is that Fine Gael plus Fianna Fáil will add up to somewhere near 80, which they need 90 to form it. So they won't need both the Sock. If they have a bad day, they could be near to 70. But I don't think Sinn Féin will be part of the government equation then. So I don't think they'll need both of them. I think if both parties, so say they did a deal with the independents and they were both in opposition, I could see them fusing together, Sock Dems and Labour, because they're in the same boat, the long haul of opposition. I think the government would rather coalesce with Labour. I think the Sock Dems are the most transfer friendly because they're doing the secret in politics is to face in 2 directions at the one time. Mm. They could go into government, but they've red lines, they mightn't go into government. And so therefore, I think that is a problem for the Sock Dems. Mm. Just tell us, will you or won't you? Labour will. Labour, you take Alan Kelly, who'll be back. You take
Now, Ivana. Holly Kearns did say, I heard her interviewed, and she is expecting imminently.
Yeah.
But I heard her say that she's not in it for the crack. She's in it to actually exercise power and be in government.
But that's because she wants transfers from Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil. I mean, of course, you're going to flirt with that, but that doesn't mean you will. Cian O'Callaghan, the Director of Elections, and others, you know, absolutely, I could see it one day. But I think when you look at the career trajectories, it's right here, right now for Labour. And I know that Fianna Fáil would rather do business with Labour.
This text, Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil will at some point have to tell the farmers the truth and that the animal numbers have got to be cut by at least a third. They will try to blame Europe, which may come back to bite them with rural voting against EU measures.
I do a lot of work with Chagas. I do a lot of work on the MAC curve and that whole emissions thing, which is 25%. Actually, the dairy herd, which is the real profitable bit, as opposed to the suckler cow herd. Suckler cow herd is declining very rapidly. This year, milk output is actually down. So actually, that won't be happening. There won't be a cull.
Now, talk to me about banana skins. Michael O'Leary was seen as an early banana skin. When you listen to his entire comments, he said he likes teachers, but he wants them in the classroom, not in Leinster House.
Yeah, I mean, Michael has a particular style. I don't know if that abrasive style is the kind of charm offensive you need when you're trying to woo voters. There's 178,000 teachers. It's just quite a lot. See, the great thing about politics, Pat, is that it's all about the issues, the personalities, the vigour and the philosophies and principles. And then there's one day, it's just about the numbers. It's just about the figures. Show me the figures, Pat. And that will be the 30th of November. We'll be in this studio going through the figures. And so therefore, it actually becomes a numbers game at the end of the day.
And your prediction is a return of the two major parties with whoever.
Well, I do think Fine Gael, I've always said, you know, a year ago or whatever, that, you know, Blair, Thatcher, Bertie, a fourth term has proved elusive to nearly all of them. Unless you're Putin or unless you're in China, it's very difficult to get a fourth term. And it wouldn't surprise me if during the election, and I just saw signs of this starting to emerge, notwithstanding the Harris hop and his honeymoon and all of this, that attrition of 14 years comes back to bite you. And I think that's one of the reasons why a lot of people stepped down, because they could see that coming. So I think there are downside risks for the two parties. I think the local elections is as good as they get. The turnout there was 50%. Young people and really disadvantaged areas didn't turn out to vote. The turnout would be 60-something, 65%. And so therefore, it's downside on the local elections. I still think they'll be the largest two parties.
Yeah, but you're trying to see how Sinn Féin, even with a very good day, based on their poll numbers, how they start assembling a left-wing coalition.
Yeah. So the difficulty
are the numbers?
So the great thing for Sinn Féin is, like Cork South Central we spoke about, there will be a quota of people saying, get rid of FFG, right? Just get rid of them. And they are a ready home for Sinn Féin. And I see Sinn Féin getting 30 seats. I see them having better counts than they had in local
election. Then they got to find 60.
This is the problem. I think they have to be nearer 50 to have a credible basis. And you know what? They're actually in competition with other left-wing parties. So I actually think there's a ceiling on left-wing TDs of about 60.
But the bottom line, would Fianna Fáil swallow their pride as they did with the PDs all those years ago and go in with Sinn Féin in order to form a government?
Not under Micheál Martin. Maybe one day. Maybe one day under a new leader and a United Ireland and all that narrative. But now, look, Micheál Martin is 64 years of age. He has one more crack at being Taoiseach. He wants to be the largest party. And that's why the sniping is going on between Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil. Every last TD counts. Look, you know, it was 249 was it, placed 245 for councillors, Fianna Fáil versus Fine Gael. But I actually think Fianna Fáil will be the largest party. And from what I'm seeing, the kind of calamity problems of the 11% bet, the sign dropping and the Theresa May factor, as I call it, you know, I can actually see some of the shine going off of Harris. And I think the ground war is safer with Fianna Fáil. It's a stale, mature product, but I think it's viable. So I think they will be the largest party.
How many eps of calling it will there be and how many have dropped?
Well, so we did 12 last Friday. They have dropped. We're doing 15 today. Poor Sean DeVoe's in a home for the bewildered. It was quite funny. Like, because I work on a Saturday, Sunday. Like, I did 18 hours this weekend because the only time I can really focus on it. And I don't bring my laptop with me at the weekends. You know, I mean, for fuck's sake. I mean, sorry, for heaven's sake.
Bleep, bleep. That's why you're no longer working here.
Exactly, exactly.
All right, Ivan Yates, co-host of Calling It with Sean DeFoe. You can find it on the Go Loud platform where you get your podcast. But Ivan Yates, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.